Thank you, Chris. Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mary.
This story of Zacchaeus and I'll explain why it's Zacchaeus for me. It always takes me back to when I was a child, and I had a brief, very brief time in Sunday school. And the main reason for going there was because it was an anniversary, it was Bethel Chapel, it was one of these tin tabernacle things. And we always got, didn't we, Sylvia, a brand new dress for the anniversary. So it kept me there for 2 years, because when you're the third in the family, you get lots of hand-me-downs. But this was a brand new dress. But I just want you to bear with me for a moment, because it reminded me also of loads of, these ads around the 60s, these jingles that are there. And so I thought we could have a bit of fun this morning. So dig deep and join in when you can. And one of the ads that I was thinking of, they have these strap lines or they have these jingles to them. One was, a Mars a day helps. It's great. And this is another one. I'm a secret lemonade drinker. Oh, what? Yes, you've got it. You've got it. I'm trying to give it up, but it's one of those nights. Oh, what? Yes. And then there was this one. See if you know this one. A double diamond works wonders. My dad used to sing that to us every time he had one of those drinks at home. So that's pretty good. And this one. Boom, 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 boom. You're there. And then there was Zacchaeus. And the reason it's Zacchaeus is because this was one of the songs I learned in Sunday school, in the brief time I was there. And it goes, Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up to the sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. That's brilliant. What did they say? Yes, so, and that's all I ever thought about Zacchaeus for years and years and years, until I became a Christian. But in these few verses which recount this story, it describes the conversion of this man to a new life in Jesus. And it reminds us that Jesus never changes, and what he did for Zacchaeus, he's able and willing to do for any one of us and any one of the people we meet. Firstly, we learn that no one is too bad to be saved by Jesus or beyond the power of God's grace. And Zacchaeus was bad. At the time, in that culture, tax collectors made their living by charging more than they had to for the Roman occupying army. He had to do the job, but he would line his own pockets with huge amounts of money. It was a kind of authorised extortion that was going on, really, in at that time. And the locals considered these people traitors, cheats, scoundrels, but out of the reach of justice or retribution. And Zacchaeus was the pariah of Jericho. Everybody knew him, and everybody knew it. So in this story, we see here, the camel passing through the eye of a needle. The rich man entering the kingdom of heaven. We see here the plain truth that all things are possible with God. Here the cheating, deceitful, heartless taxman. He was transformed into a generous, repentant man who wanted to live for Jesus. With all his wealth and finery, Zacchaeus was empty inside. He was truly broken. And like so many people today, he put on a good front to everybody. He must have been a very lonely man, and he was far from happy or content with his life. And we're reminded that God is a God of the broken. Secondly, this door of hope, which the gospel reveals to us as sinners, is very, very wide open. And we need to leave it as wide open as we found it to be ourselves. When Jim retired, he had a particular card given to him, and this message was on it. As you leave, do not close the door. Leave it ajar so that others may follow. And, you know, it was a lovely sentiment, but it's a deeper message of care and grace and love that we find here in this story of Zacchaeus. Let's never forget that the door of hope that let you and me into the kingdom is still open to all those who make a decision to follow Jesus. And let's be courageous ourselves in declaring that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost anyone who turns to him. But first of all, they need to hear the good news of the gospel and God's love. We're called to offer this gospel to the worst, the most resistant, the most difficult people, saying to them, no matter what, that there is always hope in God because he loves you. Who else in Jericho wanted to offer this hope, this love to Zacchaeus? Only Jesus. Now, we're going to watch a video in a moment. Hopefully this will come up. And it describes Mark's journey from life before an encounter with Jesus. So we'll just watch this for a moment.
I would never have gone into a church. There was no reason for me to. And I wasn't a Christian. I was a very strongly minded atheist. I was a guy that would go out every single weekend and get drunk. If someone were doing drugs, I'd do drugs. I would get into fights, very unhappy, I was very miserable. I would self-harm, I tried to kill myself a few times in the past as well. I kept on bumping into people that I liked, and then it turned out they were Christians, and it was a bit bizarre because these would be normal people and had normal jobs, so they said just, you know, go to Alpha. And I thought, yes, I will go to Alpha and attack other Christians I don't know in the comfort of their own building. That was my plan. So on the weekend, there was a talk about the Holy Spirit, and a guy there prayed for me, and I don't even know how to describe it, but the Holy Spirit came down. Like, I can look back and know that that was what was happening. I was absolutely certain that I was loved, without any question, like I've never felt before, and now I don't feel the need. I don't even want to drink. I've got no interest in doing drugs or anything like that. I'm so much happy. I'm so much more confident, and I'm just, just happy.
You know, there was so much in that, you know, Mark talked about wanting to commit suicide, and there are people just like Mark, probably that we know, like Zacchaeus, are just covering up, and we don't know what's going on. And he said that after all the struggle and the pain and the anger and the mess of life, at the moment that he met Jesus, he knew that he was loved. He knew it. And he recognized his deepest need was being met in this God of love as he poured out into Mark's life his grace and his redeeming, restoring blessing into his broken life. You know, the world will think you're crazy. I've had people look at me who, and I know they're thinking, you're totally mad. When we tell them that God loves them and that God can make a difference. But like Mark, you know, no one refuses that love when they turn to Jesus and they have that first encounter with him. And they discover that no one is exempt from the hope of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, in this story, we see how small and insignificant are the things, you know, on which a soul's salvation can sometimes turn. We're told that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but he couldn't because he was too small. Curiosity seems to be the only motivating factor here, and so he climbed into this sycamore tree. Rather than not see Jesus, he ran ahead, climbed into the tree, And this, just this action of climbing into the tree hinged on the salvation of his soul. Jesus stopped under that tree, and we read that Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." And Jesus put some urgency in this invitation. There was no choice, because Jesus was always about the Father's business. And it was the Father's will that these two get together on this day. I wonder how many times we've missed the Father's will when God wants us to get together with someone else like Zacchaeus. And we somehow missed it. And I know that I've missed those moments. Many people talk about how they found the Lord. I do. You know, I've used that term. But in reality, long before we first sensed that touch of Jesus, God was seeking us out. In this story, Zacchaeus thought he was looking for Jesus, but actually, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. There it is, Zacchaeus. From that very moment, Zacchaeus was a changed man. And that night, he lay down a Christian. His life changed forever. You know, when we're praying for someone to come to know Jesus, you know, there's that phrase of, do not despise the day of small things. And I think we need to remember that. Those tiny green shoots of the kingdom that we see from time to time in people's lives as they speak to us, maybe over the years of praying for them. And it's the work of the Spirit, you know, and he leads people to Jesus in the most wonderful and mysterious ways. And it doesn't have a great deal to do with us, apart from our obedience to share what we know about Jesus. Often, the Spirit begins a work in someone's heart that will stand for eternity. And yet, to those around, we see nothing remarkable at all happening. Until that moment when Jesus takes our breath away, as we see a life changed, as people encounter with Jesus. We should never give up living in that hope which the Spirit has placed in our hearts, and intentionally live the expectant life that we are called to in Jesus. That Jesus can and does answer prayer, that Jesus can and will make a difference, and that Jesus can and will change people's lives for good, bringing new life and life in all its fullness. And, you know, the people we pray for may well be in that sycamore tree right now. And for all we know, like Zacchaeus, you know, they might be at the moment where they're going to go further in the next few moments. Like Mark's story, you know, it's just at the right moment that he invited Jesus into his life. We're called to be persistent in our prayers for others. Because if we don't pray for people, who else will? You know, I think we sometimes forget that Jesus has this infinite ability, an infinite desire to save the lost. Now, fourthly, this account of Zacchaeus, it tells us that salvation is never by works, but by grace alone. You know, and if there was ever a person sought and saved without having done anything to deserve it, it was Zacchaeus. Thessalonians tells us that we need to hold fast to these truths. Never let them diminish, because God's power to save is as powerful today and as unrelenting today as it ever was. This grace, you know, this free grace from the heart of God, it is the only thing, the only thought that brings peace and rest to those who are dying. It is very precious indeed. It's so important that we share it. And our mission is to let everybody we meet hear this gospel of grace, and that Jesus waits to be invited in. Just as it says in Revelation, I stand at the door and I knock. And if that person hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with them. Now, the last thing I want to mention here is that the changed person will always will always show signs of a changed life in their choices they make, their lifestyle, the things that they choose to do, they choose to spend their money on. For Zacchaeus, we read that he stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Zacchaeus didn't say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll eventually get round to it. I will give back the money. He said, "Now I will give." And once we encounter that immense love of Jesus, our only response is to love him back, and we're wanting to love others. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." You know, it's a saviour, not a judge, that Jesus wants us to know him by. I wonder, is that how we know him, as a loving saviour, or is it still that, you know, we have Jesus as our judge? Because Jesus doesn't judge us. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't keep a list of wrongs. Jesus comes to seek and to save us, offering forgiveness deep and wide. And, you know, this love of the Father God, you know, he thinks that we're just wonderful. He thinks each of us are hugely significant, worth pursuing. Worth pursuing so many different ways, so many different times. And this is the God of heaven. And we have this morning this story of Zacchaeus, of him pursuing Zacchaeus, who everybody else hated. 2 weeks ago, our patron John Wright came to visit this church, and he's he's an evangelist extraordinaire. And he and Susan and his wife, they were here at Open Door for the coffee morning. And as usual, you know, they're very interested in how we do as church. And so we chatted for some time. And then John is a prophet. You know, he does and has in the past given prophecies to us. And this is what he said. He said that he saw Ripley Church as a chrysalis, and God was about to bring us out of the chrysalis to become the beautiful church that he planned for us. And I wondered, as John said that, and as it settled in my heart, I wonder if we're ready for the effort and for the struggle and the change required to break out of the shelter of the chrysalis into the future that God has planned for us, for this town, for this diocese, for this nation. Because it will require each one of us to come down from our own tree, get on with building God's kingdom in very quiet ways and sometimes very noisy ways, as he calls each one of us to go and to seek and save the lost in his name. So I'm going to leave you with a question. Who is the one in front of you this week? Who have you been praying for? Well, pray for them. Pray for breakthrough into their lives. Pray for a conversation, another one, even if it's the 100th conversation you've had over 20 years. Pray that salvation will come to their hearts. As you come to the communion rail this morning, bring them with you. Ask God to anoint their lives afresh. And you know, Christmas is coming. And an invitation is a really powerful thing. Pray about inviting these people who are on your heart to the carol service, to one of the Christmas services. They might be this close to giving their lives to Jesus. Amen.